Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's UFC 261 title fight with 26-1 odds on either fighter to win. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $5 into $135 if the title contender of your choice wins. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $5 into $135. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, want help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
All right, welcome back. Quitting time on your Thursday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. The Top 5 at 5 is brought to you this afternoon by our friends at Citizens National Bank. Here's Guy Patterson III.
Thank you, Russell. Starting off, number one, Auburn has received a transfer from Charleston, a guard named Zepp Jasper.
Zepp Jasper, that's a hell of a name right there.
He averaged 15.6 points per game and shot 35% from three.
And produces gallons of moonshine illegally in his spare time. Old Zepp Jasper up there in the hills. All right. Bruce Pearl doing work in college basketball free agency. Look forward to seeing his completely flipped roster go up against ours.
All right, number two, we talked about this a little bit, but Joe Milton told Chris Hayes of the Orlando Sentinel that he has not officially made a decision on where he intends to transfer to, but it is between Washington State and Tennessee, and he will probably decide on Saturday.
Okay.
Probably decide on Saturday.
Put that in air quotes. That's what he said.
Sure thing, Joe. Okay. All right, buddy.
So you're not buying it at all. You think he's all ball.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Does the fact that he would manufacture some drama around this announcement needlessly, if that is in fact the case, bring any questions about whether or not he's mature enough to be a quarterback in the SEC?
Nah. It's just how these kids are now, man.
Yeah, I think he just wanted to make the official announcement.
I will tell you right now, I think there's better. I'd like to get some odds. Odds are he may have already dyed his hair orange.
Hold on. I'll pump the brakes. You say that's just how these kids are. Name me another successful quarterback in the SEC or the NFL that is this how these kids are, goofy like that.
I mean, Russell Wilson, he's a transfer. You talking about transfers?
No, I'm talking about goofy, like doing goofy stuff, manufacturing drama.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, join me on Instagram so I find out where I'm going to – my top two and all that nonsense.
I don't know.
JT Daniels? It was a big deal when he transferred from USC.
Yeah, but did he play it up on social media and tease people?
I mean, I can't give you a specific one.
So I'm just saying quarterback is a position where maturity matters. And if we're saying that he's already made his decision and he's just doing this for drama, I mean, if you're Washington State, how do you feel about that? It's like, dude, no, you're not coming here. No, just go ahead and announce it.
I don't know. I don't care. It matters what happens on the field.
I'm not saying it's a red flag, you know, like pinkish kind of flag to me. It's just one of those things.
I don't feel like we're in any position right now to turn our nose up at anybody.
I don't think it's turning your nose up. I think it's why are we in this position? Because we've had a couple of these guys, and it's a serious position, requires a serious person. And I'm not saying I don't want him. I still think he's probably the inside track to being the starter. But it is one of those things where it's kind of like, okay. I'm just going to file that away in the old memory cabinet. And if things go bad with this guy, I'll go back and say, well, that was the first sign.
Well, then what's your thoughts on Brian Maurer's maturity level?
Well, it's the reason he's not the starting quarterback at the University of Tennessee right now. Yeah. It's my thoughts. And the reason that he most likely never will be, if we're being honest about it.
Okay. Number three. Former Steeler and Georgia Bulldog Hines Ward has accepted a job as FAU's assistant wide receiver coach.
I got a prediction. FAU wide receivers getting ready to be a lot more physical.
Yeah.
He is my favorite on that list of people. There's an exception to every rule. He is the one player off the team I hate most that I find.
I added this because I thought it would irk you.
No, it's the exact opposite. Like, he's the only Georgia Bulldog that I do not wish bad things on, because I admire and respect his game so much that I'm willing to overlook now that he's not wearing Georgia red and played for the Steelers. I mean, dude, he was absolutely brutal. Made no apologies for destroying
people. I always say, I could
people.
Never debate Bear as well as he debates himself.
I mean, would you not agree? I mean, who's one of the most ruthless wide receivers that's ever played the game?
Hines
Ward.
Oh, yeah.
He's a bad man.
He will knock your rear end in the dirt.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right.
Hines Ward's when keeping it real goes wrong.
All right, moving on to number four. A message in a bottle has traveled almost 250 miles from Kentucky to Tennessee and was found and was discovered 30 years after it was initially put in the water.
That's pretty cool.
Did you imagine we found that thing? You made me drive you to Kentucky so you could throw it at whoever sent it. Tell them to get back in the coal mine. Here's your note back.
It says here that Pam Stanfield and her husband and their daughter, Skylar May, were treasure hunting, as they normally do. They're, treasure hunters.
Yeah, okay.
Near Open Lake in Ripley, Tennessee, where they discovered the bottle with a message inside. And they said, most of the time when we're out here treasure hunting, it's just a bunch of trash, but every now and then you get something neat. Today was one of those days. They were able to track down the original couple that put the message in the bottle and sent it out. And the woman...
Did they even remember?
The woman had no recollection of it.
It's like, it's 30 years ago.
But the husband right away said, oh, yeah, I remember doing that. And they said that they plan on staying close friends, is what the story says now. They're going to become friends.
They plan on staying close friends.
That's what it says.
What did the note say?
It actually doesn't say what the note says in here, which really
bothers me. I feel like that's kind of... that's an important part of the question right here.
They just said that they were out walking back in 1990. They were out walking by a river and said, wouldn't it be cool to find a message in a bottle? And they said, well, since we've never found one, let's put one in a bottle ourselves, and maybe one day somebody will find it.
You ever put a message in a bottle, Bear?
No. What kind of message would I put in a bottle? I hate you, and put it inside a Jack Daniels bottle before I throw it at a Georgia fan when I'm driving?
You're on a heater today. What about the police song? Message in a bottle?
That's top tune. Top tune.
Love the police.
All right. Ready for number five?
Yes. Sure.
All right. This is a pretty interesting story, but LeBron James has deleted a tweet that he sent out yesterday calling for...
Speaking of the police.
The identification or... accountability is what I think he hashtagged.
Yeah, he said, you're next after the Floyd verdict with the guy.
Right, because there was another incident in Columbus, Ohio.
Because there weren't really a lot of parallels between that situation and the George Floyd situation.
Let me find he tweeted again after deleting it, explaining why.
Did you see the video of the young girl getting shot in Columbus?
No, I don't. You know how I am about stuff like that, man. I don't.
Well, it's not bloody or anything, but
yeah, but it's still watching.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's awful. But
well, here's the thing.
I saw a still shot.
Well, what do you think? First question is
that's decisions that those guys have to make are one of the biggest reasons that I decided at a young age I would never want to be a police officer.
No, you would not make a good police officer.
No, I do think that we would make really good dirty cops, though. I still stand by that.
Yeah, and we would do well in prison, too. So my only thought on that thing is like, okay, you shot the girl. You probably saved a life because she was somebody with a knife.
Yeah, she was in mid-swing with like a full-on like butcher knife.
Could you have taken your nightstick out and just cracked her skull?
I don't know.
15-year-old girl.
At that moment, I mean, if you're going to do that, you're not going to crack her skull.
Probably not much time to think about it.
He would have tried to struck her, like in the wrist or the forearm, breaking her arm. But then again, I don't know how far. I don't know. I wasn't honest to God, and this is not a cop out. I wasn't there. I don't know how far away he was. You're talking about he's getting out of a car and he's seeing somebody with a full-on butcher knife getting ready to stab somebody else. I mean, it's a life and death situation at that point.
Yeah, it's not like the George Floyd thing. So LeBron deletes the tweet and then says
he has
some bizarre apology that didn't land well either.
Yeah, he after deleting the tweet, he said, "I'm so damn tired of seeing black people killed by police. I took the tweet down because it's being used to create more hate. This isn't about one officer. It's about the entire system. And they always use our words to create more racism.
Wow, we're
I am so desperate for more accountability," in all caps.
We are out there now. GP3. You know, I don't like going in the minefield. I thought I was just going out for a fun trip with Guy Patterson's top five at five. Next thing you know, we're in a rice paddy in the middle of a landmine.
I mean, this was the number one trending story on ESPN.
Well, of course it is, because, I mean, it's all about the narrative, man. It's all about sowing that division, getting those clicks. It's what people like to see. Let's
just
pit ourselves against each other.
Me personally, the only thing I would say, if I've got, you know, all that stuff that, I don't know. Because it's not a shut up and dribble thing, but it's like, bro, I'm like, you do business with China. A lot of business. And none of us really rag on him about that.
Nobody rags on him about that. Well, you are aware. You've heard of this guy Clay Travis in Nashville.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
He gets ragged on about it quite a bit.
But it's kind of makes you look kind of hypocritical. That's all I'm saying.
Well, here's the thing, man. It's sad that everybody has to immediately retreat to their political camps, and it's sad that I'm not a shut up and dribble guy, man. This is America, man. You can talk about whatever you want. But when you're that famous and you talk about something that's controversial like that, you better have your facts straight. Otherwise,
you got to know nowadays the way is polarized as everything is in society now. And with you better not have anything in your life.
Well, here's it, Michael. Did he even watch the video? Because it sounds like he didn't like he just heard about it and then immediately assumed, oh, it's another white cop killing a young black girl. So this is obvious racism, and then tweeted something that without really analyzing the video, thinking it through and seeing what was going on there.
I would have to guess no. I just don't see how somebody could watch that video and then compare it to.
So that's my only
the
point.
Other situation
is you're going to go out there and talk about if you're going to you're LeBron James, man. What you say about this is going to matter. It's going to carry a lot of weight, and people are going to dissect your analysis. Analyze it.
Yeah.
Do your homework. Know what you're talking about. I don't have any problem if he watches that and that's what he feels, and like, okay, you can say whatever you want and suffer the consequences, whatever they may be, but it didn't seem like even what. But, and this is the problem, right, is that everybody wants to pop off about things. They don't even know what – they didn't even watch it. They haven't read it. They just want to.
It was the whole deal was just it's horrendous. I mean, it's tragic. Number one, and there's so many different levels. There's levels to it. I mean, she called the person that got killed was the person who called the police, and they end up. You know, she just snapped. Apparently, I still don't know that much. I mean, it sounds like
you clearly know enough about it.
Yeah. But
admit it, you watched the video, didn't you?
No, I really don't. Like, I
did
I don't,
you watch
I don't
the
watch
Austin
videos.
East thing?
No.
See, I was talking this happens too. Like, I watched and I thought the district attorney here did a really – if everybody did in these situations, which in a nation of 350 million people, you have millions of police interactions every single day – these situations happen, unfortunately. They happen very rarely, much, much more rare than the media narrative paints it out to be. Your chances, black, white, whatever, of having any encounter with the police today are virtually zero. So, but if everybody did what she did yesterday, she went on for 2 hours. I watched the whole thing on YouTube. She went on for 2 hours where she explained the entire thing and her reasoning behind it. But people just want to immediately retreat to their political camps. And if you're on this side, you believe this. And if you're on this side, you believe that. And that's not okay. Well, it shouldn't be okay. It's the reason for a lot of the problems. I won't get into the whole AE thing much about exactly what happened there, other than say you should go. And if you care, you should go and listen to that whole thing before you form an opinion. My biggest, not the biggest takeaway, but a huge takeaway I had of that is the surveillance state that we live in now is incredible. You talk about Big Brother. That kid's every move almost of his last day on Earth is on video. We have every communication he made on text in real time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cut and dried. People always used to say, well, what do you need? A video of something to happen? Well, in this case, you have it.
Yeah.
You saw the whole thing. His entire day leading up to that event. It's pretty incredible.
That's why I don't get the whole microchip in the COVID vaccine faction of our
yeah, we're already
of our fan base, so to speak. Is they're posting about it on social media using a smartphone, which is on a network, and they can, and it's part of it, you know, it shows up on GPS. Every smart, isn't that, am I wrong on that?
Even the guy who's out, you know, quote unquote off the grid, living in the woods along the North Carolina, South Carolina border, maybe in the Appalachians somewhere, surviving on grubs and raw deer meat that he kills with his bare hands, has no electricity in his shack or cave dwelling or whatever. Even that guy, they zero in a GPS on him. They find him on satellite. They're nowhere to hide anymore, man. Everything is recorded.
No.
So.
Like they knew where Bin Laden was. I think they knew for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Like even before that woman found him in the...
When the CIA finally tracked him down in Pakistan?
You think they knew before...
I think that...
Before he was in that house. You think they knew where he was?
I think they had him cornered in that mountain.
The Tora Bora?
Is that what it was? Tora Bora Mountain Complex? Yeah. I think
why did they let him go? This is what you see. This is my favorite part about Bear's conspiracy theories is that, like,
you want to lay it all out for you?
He can paint the picture, but then when you ask the critical question of why, who would do that? Why would they do that? He's like, I don't know.
Are you familiar with the Bin Laden Corporation?
His family was some rich and powerful.
They're one of the richest families in the world.
Okay, so why did we kill him later?
I don't know. Well, I'll tell you why, because his family friend wasn't president anymore. The Bin Ladens and the Bushes go way back.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
That's crazy, dude. It wouldn't surprise you?
Like, let's say one of your kids grows up to become like the leader of an international, you know, some
terrorist
kind of
organization?
Yeah.
Where are you going with this?
I mean, it would be like, me, I would let you slip away.
If I killed 3,000 innocent Americans, you would let me go?
I mean, I might.
No, you wouldn't.
Nah, I'd probably tell the SEALs your address.
The hell are you into this afternoon? What are you on about, as they say across the pond?
What are you on about? Nothing.
Take a quick time out.
How did we get there? The Bin Laden.
LeBron's tweet.
LeBron to Bin Laden in 13 minutes on the drive.
865-546-8200. You want to jump in, take a shot. We are open lines the rest of the way. Your Rick Ridge Barbecue smoking out question. Should UT move the orange and white game to Sunday with the terrible forecast for Saturday? It looks like it's going to be raining all day. South Carolina has already done that this afternoon. Should UT follow suit? More of your phone calls coming up. Stay with us. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio. The Drive. 865-546-8200. Open lines the rest of the way. You want to jump on, take a shot. Andy is next. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, fellas. How we doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Doing good. Just wanted to weigh in, I guess, the poll question first.
Okay.
I would move it to Sunday, but I would have already moved it to Sunday. I mean, because the weather has been predicted all week. So I probably would move it to Sunday afternoon, but I would have already done it. And based on the rumor mill around town, is that Heupel doesn't even want to play it right now. So so I don't know. I don't know that I see it moving if that's true. But either way.
You might just use it so as an excuse to cancel it altogether.
I wanted your take on something real quick.
Okay.
What do you think is the – what's your Vol conspiracy that you think is probably true?
Oh, man.
What do you guys – you
what
guys have one
topic.
Of those?
What a great topic.
Phil Fulmer made some kind of deal with the devil in the moonlight, early evening moonlight back in 98 against Arkansas. And it sold out the rest of our luck for like the next 30 or 40 years to get that win.
I think that it's very likely that Tennessee's administration let Bruce Pearl walk into a room with an NCAA investigator not knowing what was coming because they didn't want him around anymore for a variety of other reasons and let him essentially hang himself.
You know, I really agree with both of those takes, honestly.
you think Philip Fulmer met the devil at a crossroads and sold him his soul?
Stadium?
You know, though, where I was going with that was...
He sold the program.
Have you guys heard the crazy take that some people have that about that SEC championship?
Oh, yeah, Rohan Davies' mother put a voodoo, some kind of, like, Santeria black magic curse on Tennessee that night.
Yeah. It undid the
are you familiar with that, Russ?
Yes.
Have we talked about this?
Yes.
I believe it.
Give me a real conspiracy. Give me one that doesn't involve magic. There's got to be some other ones out there.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Donnie Tindall. What about the Donnie Tindall deal where I believe that Dollar Store Dave Hart really did know that Donnie Tindall was guilty and before he hired him and wrote his contract so strict like that because he really knew and he wanted to buy time, which ended up paying off in our next hire.
No, I just think that I think what's more likely is they really only did vet Donnie Tindall for 10 minutes before they hired him.
I think they panicked once Mikey White turned him down.
Thank God.
And they went to Donnie Tindall, and I don't think they knew, everybody knew that he had been on probation at Morehead State and that he had run afoul there, but
everybody knew that he was, you know.
They just took the chance. And at that point in time, we had never really had, aside from the Lane Kiffin fiasco, any sort of big NCAA baggage. I mean, it sounds even worse now in retrospect because we're in the situation we're in because of Pruitt. But at the time, it was like, okay, well, he had one NCAA situation, but it won't happen at Tennessee. We'll watch over him and all that stuff. And saw how that went.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a conspiracy, but there's also that story about, I want to say it was Kiffin wrecking the vehicle.
That absolutely happened.
Yeah, Alexis of Knoxville confirmed to that.
Yeah, I know people that were there.
Now, all the other stuff about who was there with him and all that stuff, I feel like some of that is open to interpretation. But as far as was there a wrecked Lexus, yes, that absolutely happened. And he left the scene.
All I say was I'm fairly certain Layla Kiffin wasn't with him.
Makes you wonder if it was some sort of like a scenario with the Sopranos where like Tony was with
Adriana.
Man. Oh, that's how
I remember that.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. I just want to get your take on conspiracies. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you.
That may be good.
That's a great off-season topic.
Yeah, that's a great summer show. We'll have to make sure you write that one down.
Because I'm racking my brain, which, I mean, we're in the third hour of the show on a Thursday, so I'm
pretty
fried at this
point.
We've
been down in
the
gutter for most of it.
But, I mean, the Pearl thing is up there.
I mean, you go old school, the deal with
Fulmer and Johnny. I mean, that was no conspiracy. That was just, I mean.
That was an out-and-out palace coup.
That's sort of what happened. Tennessee conspiracies. I'm sure we'll get some on Twitter. If you want to chime in, 865-546-8255. 0-0. You know, folks, basketball still rolling along in the professional ranks. One of the things I love about betting on basketball, always finding new player props and game props that I like over at FanDuel Sportsbook. You can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. We call it the same game parlay, parlay, parlay. You can only find them on FanDuel. Use all these market options they've got there. Everything from the player point total to rebounds, assists, money line, over under, point spread, etc. They've got it all. You can root for your favorite players in this. You can if you're Guy Patterson III, you can go for the greatest point guard in the history of the game, Steph Curry. If you're Bear, you know, if only FanDuel had been around in the days of Scottie Pippen, the all-time great, whose shoes LeBron is not worthy to kiss. I mean, Bear could have had so much fun back in the day.
I don't know why you always got to stand for, as a kid say, for Bronny.
Money line, point spread, first basket score, player points, player rebounds, assists, three-pointers, blocks, steals. They've got it all. FanDuel Sportsbook same-game parlays are awesome. And if you haven't tried it yet, new users get a risk-free bet up to $1,000 back. Just place a bet and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 in site credit back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. You heard that right. Every day, FanDuel Sportsbook, the super easy-to-use app, the super fast withdrawals, the super awesome odds, boosts, and special promotions every single day. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to try same-game parlay and use our promo code DRIVE1 at sign-up. That's promo code DRIVE1. You must be 21 or older, present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. We'll take a quick break. Actually, no, we won't. What am I doing?
I have no idea.
I'm getting way ahead of myself.
I will tell you, how cool would it have been if you'd had FanDuel back in the 80s? Could you imagine some of the parlay bets you could do?
Like, oh, back
you could have Xavier McDaniel, choking somebody. Tree Rollins trying to bite Danny Ainge's
Charles
finger
Barkley
off.
Charles throwing a guy through a plate glass window.
Yeah. I mean, just the on-court assault.
On a young girl courtside. Yeah, I mean, there would be so many fun things you could do back in the day.
Just assaults.
What do you make of the draft is a week from tonight. NFL draft. You see Devontae Smith, what he measured in at his pro day?
Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
No.
Heisman Trophy winner, Alabama, played last year.
160 pounds, yeah.
166 pounds.
Yeah.
6 feet tall, 166
He'll
pounds.
He'll last until he gets hit.
Does that make you hesitant to draft him if you're a first-round team looking for a big play wide receiver?
Yeah, absolutely it does. Because everybody gets hit eventually. I don't care who you are. He's going to get hit.
I don't know, man. You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison was a little bit bigger than that.
No, he wasn't. He's probably a little shorter. He's about 5'10". Maybe he might have been a little thicker, 170, but he was a little dude. But you know what Marvin Harrison was the master of?
I
watched
hit.
All those games. He catched the ball wide open the middle field and just lay down.
Yeah. He didn't let people hit him.
And I don't mean like run out of bounds or like, you know, roll up under a guy right before he gets – I mean, catch the ball wide and just – lie down and let somebody come touch him.
Marvin Harrison was 6'185".
So. Oh, a little bigger. But very
– he'd go up and make some crazy catches, though. He would, but he wouldn't give anybody – people didn't give free shots at him.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think if that's – and Devontae Smith – what was his injury at the end of last year? Was that an ankle
that
he had?
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing you got to keep in mind. Like, if I'm an NFL team and going to spend any kind of, like, top half of the first-round draft pick on an Alabama player, I'm going through his medical record with a fine-tooth comb just because they will do anything down there to get guys back on the field for Alabama.
It wasn't Devontae Smith. It was the other receiver.
It was Waddle. Jalen Waddle.
That's right. Smith was
helping. He had a dislocated, ankle fracture?
Against us.
And he played in the national – was it the national championship?
Yeah,
or the
he
shouldn't
have. He went out there and was not very effective.
He caught a couple of balls, and then he got gimped real quick.
Yeah.
So I thought it was silly to put him out there like that.
I was just thinking, I mean, this might play to the Titans' benefit. I would take it, man. If he's still around at 22, I would take him.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think you get to a certain point where he becomes a value pick.
I mean, we're at that point in the draft where we dissected these guys. You're just looking for something to pick on him about. And if the worst you can say is he's 166 pounds, A, he can add a little weight. But B, like Bear said, if you can – Coach, I would just play a bunch of Marvin Harrison film and say, look, dude, don't take a hit. And the rules are different now. I mean, there was a lot more headhunting that went on in Marvin Harrison's day.
And he is so good at the one thing he does best. I mean, he's a home run hitter. So, you're not running him. He's not going to be running the same routes that like a Wes Welker or Julian Edelman. He's not running over the middle.
Yeah, I think he can – if he learns how to protect himself, he have to at that level. But that's not – it's interesting. I think everybody saw that yesterday, 166 pounds. Like, really? But after you get off over the initial shock of it, I wouldn't worry about it too much. The other thing, if I'm – whoever drafts him, I don't want him – working out and getting big just to get big, because then you're going to lose what makes him special, which is his explosiveness.
I mean, he'll be one of what you put him just right out of the gate. He'll be one of the top five most explosive athletes in the NFL.
Pretty good, man. He's pretty darn good. Today's Rick Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question is, should UT move the orange and white game to Sunday to avoid a rainy forecast on Saturday? 143 votes cast at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. 80.4% of the audience says yes. I'm surprised, man. People are like, yeah, move it. I figured that the no's would have that. Oh, no, don't move the game. But people are like, yeah, move the game.
Well, I think there's people that want to go, but nobody wants to go stand out in a cold spring rainstorm. Not to watch this team.
I feel like if you get in there early enough, because I don't think it's going to be a huge crowd, I feel like you could get pretty good seats in the dry.
Ooh.
Which that's always been – that's on my bucket list, man. I don't think I've ever done that. Watching a rain game from the dry in Neyland Stadium under the overhang, just nice toasty warm up there, not a speck of water on you, just watching everybody else just get soaked down there.
I've been soaked to the bone.
Yeah, I was at that LSU game where that monsoon happened. And
that freak.
And Butch's last game.
That freak meteorite. No, it wasn't Butch's last game.
No, Butch's last year.
That was Brady Hoke's swan song.
Because I had season tickets that year, and I made a vow that I was going to quit going to games until Butch was gone. And then once they finally got rid of him,
I just remember yelling at my TV. I was like, you realize you can kick in this situation.
I still can't believe they started that second half with
I can't believe you didn't kick it. Nobody, yeah. I mean, whoever kicked that off was getting the ball.
Do you think, though, if he had kicked off, do you think we win the game?
I don't know.
It was close at halftime.
If he had, would we have deluded ourselves into thinking that Brady Hoke might be?
Oh, my God. Yeah, you better be thanking your lucky stars he didn't.
That's the wackiest night UT sports history.
I'll tell you what, though. I had so much fun at that game, even though we got our brains blown out. It was a lot of fun. Just the joy of Butch being gone and just
– Butch was gone. Brady botched the game. There was British royalty in one of the skyboxes. That was an insane night. That was the night that Peyton was allegedly at Calhoun's meeting with Gruden. And in an area where anybody could photograph him. I still blame you and Willie and several other guys around town for the whole groomers thing. Hope you're proud of yourself.
That was all Trey Wallace.
You were one of the ringleaders in that deal. You, Chance, John Reed.
I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
McClure fed into it.
And I love Tennessee.
What do you want from the guy? He loves Tennessee, man. So what, we would be in, we would just finished up year three of Gruden?
I mean, let's talk about it for a second.
Can we explore the alternate universe where John Gruden is going? We're going to year four of the Gruden era?
In your all's defense, I will give you this. That maniac knew all that stuff was going on.
And I love Tennessee.
comes to watch a game stretched out in an empty part of the stadium.
That's the wildest
with
thing
it,
to
with, me. With his posse.
All
with
that stuff
crew,
is going on. And he just walked up in
just
there.
Smiling.
Just sat there in his fired football coach's hat, taking pictures with anybody who wanted one. While the guy that he professed to be a big fan of and a big friend of, Butch Jones, is down there sweating for his job.
He's just shoving him
with
off.
With friends the, like these, huh? Yeah.
It's like Littlefinger.
Yeah. You remember how it ended for Littlefinger?
Yeah, I do.
He's still employed. He's still gainfully employed.
What is it she says right after she slits his throat?
Spoiler alert.
Man, if anybody hadn't watched Game of Thrones by now, you're not going to watch it. I don't care. If I've watched Game of Thrones, remember how I fought you guys on that for so long?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I refuse to engage on any Game of Thrones talk.
Well, just think about that. The next time we're trying to convince you that something's cool and you're doing your, no, it sucks even though I haven't seen it and don't know anything about it routine. Remember, you finally gave in and watched maybe the greatest show of all time. Certainly.
Was that one of the funniest moments at the station when you guys figured out that I'd secretly been watching it?
Oh, it was funny. It was early. It's
look
like
on Oryk's face.
Bears joined our reindeer games and is going to talk about this awesome show we've all been geeking out over for a long time now.
You and Colin's going to, you know, you guys oversold it.
The ending is what keeps it from being the greatest show for me.
If it had a better ending, and I don't know what a better ending is, although
the last season stunk.
I am aware there are a bunch of people, there are a bunch of fan fictions where fans have rewritten the end on YouTube. You can go and find these. I saw one, I clicked on it, I was about to watch it, then I realized it's like 30 minutes long. Some geek has rewritten the end of Game of Thrones.
What'd they do, like recut?
Well, I don't know. I think they just kind of explained it, but they had the music and the theme song and what they wanted to happen. If it did have a better ending, a more satisfactory ending, which I think at that point the show had gotten so big and had become such a pop culture phenomenon, I don't know how you end a show like that. But had a little bit better, if it had a – you know, a Breaking Bad quality in it. It's not great.
Breaking Bad was almost...
It's fine,
It was a perfect ending.
It's fine. Even The Sopranos. A lot of people don't like it, but to me, it's okay. It's fine. Like, how do you end The Sopranos? I don't know. If it had a better ending, would Game of Thrones be the GOAT show of all time?
It would be in It would be in consideration. I don't think they wound down The Wire very good.
I've still never seen The Last.
I haven't seen The Wire either. I started it, but I never...
It's incredible.
Stay with
us. I mean, I don't know. I did see, I've been meaning to tell you this. I saw this, the only Game of Thrones video I've seen lately that was cool is a bunch of guys went to the Fender shop. So it's like, I'm talking like Tom Morello, all these big time, like legendary guitar players, and they're playing the Game of Thrones theme. And then I never realized, did you realize how big of a badass Brad Paisley was?
Oh, yeah.
On guitar and like how respected he is by guys that you wouldn't think.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're all like, you can tell when he sits down last and picks up his guitar and they all kind of stiffen up a little bit.
If you want to hear a good song, I guess, from him that shows his guitar, I think it's called Start a Band with him and Keith Urban. That's actually not.
Because I really think he could go on stage with Metallica and burn down a solo. That dude's good. He could shred.
So you like Metallica again?
Yeah, I mean,
yesterday you said they sold out. Now you want Brad Paisley to jam with them. I mean, you're all over the place today.
I'm just telling you. I didn't realize he could play like heavy metal guitar.
Stay with us.
Just like a shred, like solo. You don't see much of that in country music, Russ.
The drive rages on. More fan run radio. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. We back to wrap things up right after this.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio. The Drive. Russell LeBaire with you for another 10 minutes or so, taking your phone calls, 865-546-8200. If you want to chime in this afternoon, Christopher Gabriel was on in first hour.
It's incredible. You still contend this is the greatest riff ever written?
don't know that I ever.
You staked that, out that claim.
It's a good song. Yes.
All right.
Christopher Gabriel brought the thunder, the noise, the emotion, the passion in hour number one. Go back and check that out on the podcast if you missed it. We talked a lot about.
See, that's what I do. When Chris comes on with us, like I'll go home tonight and listen to the podcast.
What do you do when he's on with us?
It's so much information I have to.
Is it? Wait, it's.
I slow it down.
It's you. You slow it down.
Yeah, makes his voice real deep.
But then it takes 30 minutes to listen to.
Yeah, I don't care. The hell do I have going on right now?
What? I don't know. I just see like a better use of your time. You listen to it the first time when it actually happens. Then we can talk about it on the show. But you do you. Go back and check it out with Bear. You could listen to it. Relive all the glory of Christopher Gabriel as long as Guy Patterson III doesn't screw up the podcast.
Should already be up.
I saw where Hickman. I don't know if you noticed this, but he was. All his I response, know, yeah. It had an insolent tone to it.
All I know is, and we can take it up with him tomorrow, I reckon, but. When I went to listen to the podcast that day, the first 45 minutes of the first hour were Talk Sports. I listened on Apple, on the podcast app, and the first 45 – I don't know where he gets his podcast, but it was messed up on my phone. So
I think he corrected it and then tried to pull a fast
the
one.
The next day? Because I went
when,
back
when
and
he
checked
tweeted it.
It
out.
Well, no, because I listened to it that night at like 10 o'clock Monday
and
night.
It was still wrong late. Tuesday yes. morning?
Well, I don't know. I listened to it Monday night.
Yeah.
So he might have corrected it the next day, but.
I think he did it in the middle of the night. I'm going to speak to him about it tomorrow.
Whatever he did. It's messed up, man. It's messed up. A $13,000 flute that went missing nearly a decade ago has been returned to its owner after police recovered it from a Boston music store.
Hmm.
The flute was reported missing in 2012 after its owner left it in a taxi cab. It had been a cold case until this February when a worker at a Boston music store called in with a tip. Yeah, a cold case of the missing flute. I realize it's a $13,000 instrument. But
some of those brass instruments like that.
But Boston police department.
I'd have got to leave like a pre-World War II French like saxophone, big giant one.
Yeah.
And he had played in a band, and they were like in Virginia when they figured out that it wasn't on there, what didn't make it on the bus. And
they found it?
Yeah, it was sitting in the place I was working, like right by the front door.
Well, yeah.
But then I found out later it was like a $50,000 saxophone.
So you had a $13,000 flute. The Boston Police Department evidently had this, a cold case. Don't they have like unsolved murders, missing children and stuff? Is there really a file of missing expensive musical instruments? And how expensive does the instrument have to be for them to actually create said file? I mean, they're not going after a $300 ukulele, are they?
No, but if you're talking about a $13,000, I don't know what kind, but some instrument makers their instruments are a lot more valuable.
The worker told police that someone had come to the store with an expensive flute, asking about its value. The employee took down the person's contact information and took a photo of the flute and its serial number. The worker later realized it might be the flute that was reported missing in 2012. That's incredible. Actually, it is really incredible that the worker would actually remember that there was a missing flute from 9 years ago.
Well, how good do you think the person who was the rightful owner of that flute? I mean, people that have $13,000 flutes are probably I'd imagine they were in the symphony.
Earlier this month, detectives spoke with the person who had visited the music store with the flute. The person said he had bought the instrument from an unknown person, and he turned it over to detectives. Where'd you get this flute? Oh, I bought it from some guy. Who is he? Unknown. And how much did you pay for it? $13,000. Yeah, well, it was stolen. Okay, you can have it back for free then. But I definitely bought it from unknown.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Police said they determined he was actually the driver of the taxi that day. Police said they planned to bring a complaint against him in Boston. Okay. So
he got left in the taxi and he sat on it for about 9-10 years.
When I used to work at Lyft at their headquarters, if somebody left something in somebody's car, it was theirs. Like they
what?
No.
You had no obligation to return it.
No.
Now we did. Now if somebody did reach out, say, "Hey, I forgot my wallet. Will you return it to me?" We would charge $15 for the return trip.
If you've got somebody's $13,000 musical instrument,
I'm just saying
that doesn't belong to Lyft. That doesn't belong to somebody.
Well, no, it probably does, because when you click on Lyft or Uber or something, just like any other app on your phone, there's a thing you have to click on that I agree that nobody reads, and
again,
you're probably signing over.
I will fall back on the. You really want to get into that kind of public relations nightmare with somebody who's...
Well, drivers are contractors. They're not employees of Lyft, so it doesn't belong to Lyft. It's the driver. So if somebody were to leave
Cody about this.
$100 in a driver's car...
It makes sense to me.
It's different between $100 and you're talking about somebody's $13,000 musical instrument.
Oh, there's really not. If you sign over...
There is to me.
That's fine, but if you sign a thing,
I think you're garbage human being if you would do something like that.
Okay, well that's another thing. But legally speaking,
well, sure,
we do it all the time.
That's just absolute
garbage.
You
see something come up, and you're like, "Yeah, I accept whatever. Just get out of my face, so I can go on with whatever the thing is I'm about to doing." And we don't know what we've just signed up for.
Yeah,
I don't know. I got a lot of friends that are musicians that have really nice instruments.
It could say, "I give away my rights to my firstborn child." Yeah, whatever. All right, just sign it. Give me a ride now. Come on. Meanwhile, closer to home in Merville, two women are accused of reportedly attempting to spend a fake $1 million bill. Wait for it. At a Merville Dollar General store. Not making this up.
Are they going to buy the store?
WVLT, according to the Blount County Sheriff's Office, deputies responded to reports of two women attempting to use counterfeit money to purchase various items, including several gift cards, on April 5th. How would you like to pay with that? What is the look on her face as she hands over
the million dollar bill? How many drugs do you have to be on to do that?
Sheriff's Office said said she received the $1 million bill in the mail from a church. Officials said the woman could not provide deputies with the church's information. She told investigators she was using the money to purchase packages for the homeless. That's
heartwarming.
You gotta let her go at that point. Yeah, sure.
It's incredible.
Do you think
$1 million bill?
Do you think a Dollar General store has $1 million worth of goods in it?
No. No way. Probably maybe 100, 200,000 maybe.
No, there's no chance.
Because it's not everything in the Dollar General. It's been a long time since I've been in one. Not a humble brag. It's just
you ever worked anywhere and gotten like funny
everything
money?
Is more than a dollar there, right? There's it's not everything is just a dollar. It's just cheap stuff, basically.
Yeah. They've got some name brand stuff. Not a lot, but some.
Both women were issued a verbal no trespass warning for the Dollar General located at the 3400 block of Montvale Road. Counterfeit bill was placed into evidence, according to the sheriff's office. Now, what is the play if you're the clerk at that Dollar General store when somebody hands you the $1 million bill?
I mean, you want to know what I think company policy, they probably just call their manager.
Yeah, I mean, well,
the manager calls the cops.
I think that's what you have to do is like, okay, just a minute, let me get on the phone with my manager. But there's also got to be an amazing, not even a temptation, but just a natural inclination to be like,
are you stupid?
Like laugh at him. Like, wait a minute. That's a funny joke. No, really. That'll be 30 bucks. Like, and then they persist. It's like, no, I got this $1 million bill from a local church. You should honor it. It's from God.
Yeah. And at that point, you're like, hold on just a second. You call your manager. But as far as working in retail off and on and like bars and restaurants and stuff, you try and pass a fake bill, the police are getting called.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I worked at a Wendy's and I got
immediately
I got a fake 21 time and we had to call the police.
How did you know? You have the marker.
Yeah, the little marker. But you can also like look up.
Back in the day when people paid for things with cash. Oh, man, those were quaint times, weren't they?
You know who manufactures the most United States $100 bills?
China?
North Korea.
What?
More than us. They meant more.
Oh, a counterfeit.
Yeah. They've got an actual, they got a hold of plates.
How?
And who the hell knows? But they got them. Or had somebody engrave them.
Is it wrong of me to say that's kind of cool? That's going to do it for us, folks. Thank you so much for tuning into the show this afternoon. If you missed any of it, the podcast will be up momentarily. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the Books. Overtime coming up next from 6 until 8. We will do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.